This is Billy Bram and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. I've been sharing with you this week my trip to the Tulsa, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma area to enroll my granddaughter Hannah in first year Rhema Bible Training Center. All the weekend while I was there, God was speaking to me, and it even continued on the way home. Actually, I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. My grandparents and great-grandparents were from Coweta, Oklahoma. I grew up in Broken Arrow. You never would have guessed when I was a girl there that there would ever be some place like Rhema Bible Training Center and that I would be so connected to it. So, during this weekend, the thought processes that came to me and the things that came to my mind, I enumerated for you what they were as we saw those Rhema students and ORU students and wondered if they knew the Holy Ghost choice outpouring of the air in the area and in their own lives and in all of our lives as we're living now just before a great awakening. These were my thoughts. I thought of how Rhema began. I remember how. I was there when it happened. I remember how the Holy Spirit directed Brother Hagin to begin a special training center where people, especially ministers, could learn how to walk in the Word of God and be led by the Spirit of God. I thought about Brother Hagin's own call and purpose for the days just before the coming of the Lord, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And how that call and purpose reaches out through the Rhema students and all those affected by Brother Hagin's lives. I thought of Oral Roberts University and the dream for the school that he'd personally shared with me on a special day in June 2007 in his home in California. I thought of how the Tulsa area became the Holy Spirit center that it is in the first place. My great-grandparents were there when it happened. I thought of the place that I believe Tulsa is going to hold in the last days and holds now in the last days plans of God. I thought of how I believe an awakening will affect and be affected by this great city. So yesterday we talked about the outpouring. You see, in Acts chapter 1, there was the early rain outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Israel has two rainy seasons, the early rain and the latter rain. So in Acts chapter 2, and rain is a type of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, there was the early rain outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem. In Topeka, Kansas, there was the latter rain outpouring of the Holy Ghost that started there January 1st, 1901, and then we know it moved out to Azusa Street, and that revival was 1906 through 1910. Meetings all day long, every day, that affected the whole world. Then I explained to you yesterday in my book, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, how Pentecost came to Tulsa. After the outpouring in Topeka, on their way down to Houston, where Brother Seymour would pick it up, and then later it would go on to Azusa Street, two women stopped in the Tulsa area. And in the Tulsa area, Broken Arrow, Coweta, Oneida area, there came a great move of God and people that affected, that accepted that Pentecostal message, and it affected the whole of that area. You can tell that Tulsa is a very different place. And it has been since the early days when they received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. My dad went to those meetings. He was a little boy, those great early day. And I've heard him tell so many times about the Holy Ghost things that happened there. How one brother, Billy so-and-so, they always watched it when he preached because he'd dance off the end of the altar and be suspended in the air. And my daddy would often tell me about his grandparents and how they prayed. They believed they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and given unknown tongues to pray about the mysteries of God, 1 Corinthians 14:2. And they believed they were to pray about God's work till Jesus comes. Daddy says that at every meal, his grandpa Pickard would say, "Pull out your chair, son, and kneel beside it." In that manner, all at the table prayed before each meal. Now, my daddy prayed like that. Long prayers. No, he just didn't bless the missionaries. He prayed long Holy Ghost prayers before every meal we ever ate, and my mother was thankful for microwave. My granddaughter Kylie says, we never had a warm Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, but we loved every word of it, and now we're missing Daddy's prayers. Grandpa Pickard, Daddy said, prayed all day as he did his chores, and he liked to pray loudly. There's lots of stories about them and their life and those Holy Ghost meetings. Family, and I have in my book, The Road to Prayer Mountain, I have their witnesses of the things they saw. But I want to talk to you about Elsie Ford, and we read this yesterday. Elsie Ford was born in 1898. She came into contact with the move of God when she was an early teenager living on a farm in the Broken Arrow area. She would slip off to the meetings. Her father would beat her for going. And when beating didn't work, he said, if you don't stop going, I'm going to take you out of school. She would not stop going, and she bore scars on her back till her death at 87 years of age. She attended one of the greatest churches in America at 5th and Peoria in Tulsa, where she sat under the ministries of Smith Wigglesworth, Raymond T. Ritchie, and others of the most highly anointed ministers. She was a friend and prayer partner of Jeannie Wilkerson. Elsie told of those days there in Broken Arrow as a teenager, and the teenagers were greatly involved in that outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And there was a one young man named Rupert Bailey. He was shown by the Holy Spirit that the Lord would raise up a work on the land his father farmed, which would reach around the world before Jesus came. Rupert was instructed to birth it in prayer. Every morning and evening after chores, Rupert would lie upon the highest knoll on the farm and agonize in the spirit, as they called it in those days, over the work. That place is where Rhema Bible Training Center, where the church is today. I remember the work is on the farm where the church was, and they cut down that knoll where he prayed. At least they cut down a knoll to build Rhema Bible Church, and it probably, possibly was that one. I remember when, we know it was the Bailey Farm, Elsie told us to, and when her son, Eddie Ford, shared that with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin got so tickled. He had been about to sign. I remember I worked for him at the time. He had been about to sign for another property for Rhema Bible Training Center, and at the last minute, he just laid down that pen and said, no, this is not the place. And then when he came to the spot that is now Rhema Bible Training Center, and we moved on there, and the school grew. But later on, when he found out about this Rupert Bailey, he said, I knew I heard God. I knew I heard God. He got so tickled. And I was, surprised, because I thought, well, Brother Hagin, my goodness, you always hear God. Bless the Lord. But he was just as tickled as you or I would have been of the confirmation that he had heard. Now, I want to talk to you. Remember, I said that the things we want to talk about is how Tulsa, these are the things God reminded me of, how Tulsa became the Holy Spirit Center in the first place. And that's what we've talked about yesterday and today. Then the Lord reminded me of Kenneth E. Hagin's call, and how that call was especially tied to the last days. Now, we're going to go to the life of Kenneth E. Hagin, and I'm reading you from the book, I Believe in Visions. He was asked by Fleming H. Revell to do a book on his visions. I was working for him, and they knew that his life had been dramatically influenced by open-eyed visions of Jesus. And Brother Hagin said, well, I'll just have to pray about it. And he did pray about it. And to give you an idea of it, how he was, this was something he didn't know if he should do or not. And I was the editor of publications at the time. And at Christmas time, the first year I worked for him, must have been 1971 or so, the first year I was the editor, he was only on radio. People didn't know what he looked like. And God touched his ministry and it started to grow. And I said, Brother Hagin, can I put a picture of you and Mrs. Hagin and make a Christmas card type greeting in the Word of Faith? He said, I'll have to pray about it. He came back in a few days later and he said, you know, it'll be all right. He said, I've always patterned my ministry after the ministry of Jesus, where it says in Philippians 2:7, he made of himself no reputation. But he said, I always follow that. But the Lord told me that it's an established fact in my life, and it would be all right now to put a picture out. So
That was Kenneth E. Hagin. He went into, I remember, he went into a recording studio just there, you know, at the office. And he sat in a room all by himself and told the story of his 8 visions. He made reel-to-reel tapes, large reel-to-reel tapes for Fleming Revell. And I remember that when they came back and they published the book, they gave me the keeping of those reel tapes. I listened to them, and I tell you, it was quite an experience. Just to sit and listen to him, he would weep and cry. And then he would smile, and you could hear a smile and a joy in his mouth. But I'm going to read you his book from I Believe in Visions. I want you, because this is what God made me to understand when I was there this weekend, the call that was on Kenneth Hagin's life is being worked out through and affected through the ministers who come up under him. Those at Rhema Bible Training Center and those who've studied under him. Now, he's going to tell about the first vision. These are his words, page 42, I Believe in Visions. One of the fulfillments of Joel's prophecy and the outpouring of the Spirit was that, quote, "Your young men shall see visions," Joel 2:28. The Amplified Bible says, "Your young men shall see divinely appointed appearances." Excuse me, "Your young men shall see divinely granted appearances." In these next few pages, I want to tell about one of these divinely granted appearances that I had when I was a young man of 33 years of age. Tomorrow, I'm going to read to you and talk about this and about his call. I remember when he started Rhema Bible Training Center. I remember the summer camp meeting in 1974 at Sheridan Road Assembly when he announced we're going to have a school in the fall. His family said to him, "You announced we're going to have a school in the fall." He said, "No, I didn't." They said, "Yes, you did," and they played it for him. He said, "Well, I guess we'll have to start one." He'd been praying about it for years. A school where people, especially ministers, cream of the crop, he called it, could be brought up in faith in the Word of God and how to be led by the Holy Spirit. That was the reason for Rhema. This life, this call, is on those who are going there today and on all of us who have heard anything and been taught anything through this man's ministry. We have a 3-book offer for you this week. The Road to Prayer Mountain by Billy Brim, about Tulsa's early Pentecostal days. The Man Who Talks to Flowers, and I Believe in Visions, Kenneth E. Hagin. All 3 books are available for $10. Man Who Talks to Flowers 3, I Believe in Visions 5, Road to Prayer Mountain 2. We trust you can be with us for the Autumn Assembly of Prayer. We're going to be praying for an awakening in America. Go online, billybrim.org, and find out how to do it. Also, September 11th, we trust that you will be at your county courthouse praying in the noon hour for an awakening in America. Go online to awakeningamerica.us and find out about that. This is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom until tomorrow.